Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Excited. I'm so excited tonight about this broadcast. I'm excited because I have wonderful people with me tonight. I have Mr. John Price, Mr. John Price, wonderful Mr. John Price, and Mr. Latame Phillips. These gentlemen are the author of If Only for One Night. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thanks
for having us. Thank you.
Good. It's amazing how in life things happen. You run across people. You never know what to expect, but you take no moments for granted. And last year in September, celebrating my birthday with my daughters from work, I met Mr. John Price and got to see him in his fullness. In his fullness. John's a wonderful he's a wonderful painter. And he was our instructor that night at a paint night in Richmond, Virginia. And he shared with us that he was working on this project, if only for one night. And I said, okay, well, when you're done, let me know. You know, I'll bring you on the broadcast. And lo and behold, here we are. Months later, John did just that. And so we're here to talk about If Only for One Night. I can tell you all that this book is all right with me. And I don't get a chance to really read anything outside of educational and biblical stuff, but I picked up this book and it is good to me. So, John, first of all, tell me, what was the motivation behind If Only for One Night? Now, I put in the episode info, I picked it up from one of your sites. It read this way. Jeffrey McDaniel is living the middle class dream, successful business, nice car, loving and beautiful wife. However, Jeffrey cannot be satisfied because he is still living in the past with his first love. She was his everything and the one that got away. Recently, she reached out to him, and when the opportunity to reconnect presents itself, Jeffrey must decide to open his heart again or ignore what he truly desires. Lawrence Peterson is the quintessential man's man. He has excelled in business, in life, and in love, or has he? A chance encounter at his high school reunion reignites a flame he once thought was extinguished. The problem is, Lawrence's love is Jeffrey's wife. Now talk to me. John, talk to me. Latame,
okay.
Talk to me about If Only for One Night. Yes.
Okay. You wanted to know about me writing the story. Originally, I wrote a bunch of little short stories, and then a few people would read them and said, hey, you know, maybe why don't you, have you ever thought about actually writing an entire book? And I thought, that is a massive undertaking, but I thought, you know, let me do it. And so I thought, what if you could get one more chance, one more night with someone from your past, and not necessarily in a romantic way. I mean, I think all of us, you know, how many of us wouldn't give another opportunity to sit down with our, you know, our father again or somebody from our past? But I thought, you know, romance hits everybody. And every women always want to know what, you know, romance from a man's perspective. And so when I wrote it, it was originally a guy and a girl. It was just, you know, one story. And then a lot of people read it and they said, this is really good. And then Latame came along and he read it. And this is where he could pick it up, because I remember he hurt my feelings. He read it, and he said, well, it's okay. He said, it's okay. He's like, so what? A man gets with a woman from his past, so who cares? He's like, it's been done a million times. And then that's when he said, what if you could introduce another character and their lives intertwine? And it bothered me because he was right. And so it was, I mean, he put a lot of creative effort, but, you know, a lot of times the truth, it really hurts. And it became a whole lot better because of the input he put into it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay, so Latame.
Yeah, so John and I, when we met, from the very minute we met, we had a connection and we were like brothers. So when I told him that, obviously I wasn't trying to hurt his feelings, but, you know, we had always been open and honest and joked about everything and shared different things. So I've always been a writer and John's always been a writer. And when people are around us, they don't know if we're serious or not, because we just have a we have a way that, like, if we might be telling a story that's completely untrue, but I'll stop and in mid-sentence John will pick up and add to the story, and, you know, it's a fictional event. So when we sat down, I think the first time we sat down was at his house. Like, the creative process just kind of just, it just all came together organically because, you know, I would say, why don't we do this? And then John would say, well, yeah, and then we should do this with it. And it just kind of came together. You know.
And I can appreciate that because that's a synergy that people probably are not welcome to as much as it sounds like the two of you were, because, you know, a lot of people just, this is my thing and I'm going to do it my way. But that's an amazing thing that you two and your own creativity can come together and do such a great work. Now, in this book, it's like some hometown stuff in here. What's the connection?
Yeah.
What's the connection?
With Virginia?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you always write what's familiar to you, and I wanted it to be realistic in the sense that people felt like maybe they could go to those places. Some of the places don't exist, but I tried to write it as though they really do. I think the whole high school track stadium is torn down. In Petersburg, I believe that place is still up. But where I grew up in Georgia, I was writing it from the memory of a stadium that we did have. And so I felt that I could put that and make the connection with Petersburg because in the area that I grew up was kind of economically depressed, and portions of Petersburg are in that same boat. So it was so easy
Absolutely.
To put that connection together, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And on the Lawrence character, neither one of us have lived in any of those cities. We've either driven through them or heard about them. So we just did kind of mm-hmm. some research and found out, you know, what was in those areas and what high school, and we went from there.
Yeah, Google Earth is amazing because you can, when I would explain some, all I had to do was pull up a road map, get down to the street level, and I could explain buildings exactly as they look. So,
absolutely. That's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about Lawrence. In the setting of this book, it says Lawrence Peterson was the only black student in student council, but it didn't seem to concern him. He was used to situations like this. All of his core classes were honors or advanced placement, and with the exception of junior ROTC and weight training, he was almost always the only minority student in class. Was this a significance to making Lawrence Peterson that character?
Yeah, that part kind of correlates with my life growing up. Unfortunately, because of my test scores, I don't want to seem arrogant, but you know they were well enough for me to go to different schools, and
mm-hmm.
those schools lacked diversity. So the majority
mm-hmm.
of the time, I was the only minority.
Only.
It's from a racial standpoint, and I used to have a chip on my when I was younger, 12, 13 years old. I had a chip on my shoulder about it, but then after a while, it just became the norm. And I lived with it and did my best to thrive in the situation.
I can appreciate that because, like you, I doubt if my scores were as high as yours, but like you, in the small town that I was raised in West Point, Virginia, which is just a few minute drive from Petersburg, I was also, up until the sixth grade, the only African-American in my classes. And, you know, the challenges and trying to fit or not fit and how to and how not to, I found that to be very intriguing, and how you intertwine the behaviors and how you made it real. It's like what this story can be played out now.
Right.
In any high school, in any city.
And going back to what John was talking about earlier in terms of good fiction, you got to have some aspects of real life in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of it was based off of personal feelings and just interaction in class with, you know, with different people that did not have that diversity. And so, and the other thing, too, is we wanted to create a project, a piece. We wanted the project to kind of have that real element in it where you can relate to the characters and you can see this actually happening, or you can wish that was you.
Yeah, absolutely. So do both of you all have a Kaylee in your life? No, I'm sorry. Let's move on.
I think everybody does. I think everybody has that one that got away.
I refuse. I'm not commenting on that. I'm not touching that.
You're a smart man, Mr.
That's,
Phillips.
Yeah,
the fame
that's
has about 10
Kaylees
that got away.
Yeah. That's fiction. That's the fiction part.
Yeah, that's fiction.
Yeah,
oh,
okay,
facts.
We hear you. That's awesome. So with this work that I believe that everyone who likes a good read should get, what else are you all working on? What's coming next for this dynamic duo?
That's a really good question because, you know, a lot of times we're just saying, you know, you want to strike while the iron's hot. We wanted to kind of give this a year to see, you know, what it does, to see it. Do we want to go ahead and put the next one out? And it's, the next one is more from the standpoint of the women, because a lot of times when you hear about, you know, when you've got people reminiscing on the past, you just see their memories because, of course, and that's what was probably the most difficult part about this book was when we would write about, say, Lawrence remembering something Kaylee would say. I caught myself so many times, and Latane caught it a lot of times, and Kaylee thought to herself, and it's like, well, he can't remember what she's thinking. And so we wanted to kind of write it from the women's standpoint, what, mm-hmm. you know, what they were thinking, they were going through. But we also had, we have a few more romance novels, but we've also got some political thrillers and just a few short stories, just kind of make a combination of several things that go together. We put quite a few things together.
John, why don't you want me to tell them about the women cheating all the time book?
The what? With the what? What'd you say, Mr. Phillips?
I'll let
what?
Latane take that. I'll let Latane take that.
What'd you say? What?
So we have a book that we're working on, and the title of it's called Women Cheat More Than Men. And the premise behind it is, Men may cheat more in numbers. So if you talk to a man, he may have cheated on his significant other 3 or 4 times. But a woman will cheat more because the one relationship that she may have is far more significant than the 5, 6, 7, 8 times that the man may have cheated. So it explores the thought process of a woman, why she cheats and when she cheats, and then how she goes about masking the cheating. So it becomes a greater effort. So that's why we kind of titled it Women Cheat More Than Men.
Are you going to hang up on us now?
Okay, yeah, I need to see that manuscript quick, fast.
We don't have any empirical evidence to back this up, but
yeah, that's what I'm like.
Really,
do you have
paper.
Any qualitative or quantitative research to substantiate this claim?
We don't want to name
any women's names on the radio.
One of the guys that I interviewed for personally had cheated on his wife multiple times, but every woman he cheated with was married. And so that was kind of like, whoa, hold on. You know, yes, not to say that what he was doing, you know, not to make an inroad for him. What he was doing is immoral and wrong. But it's crazy how he's a dog, but every single one that, you know, slept with him was also married. And that was kind of like, wait, maybe we can really – piggyback off of this and make a book out of this. And so, it sounds kind of chauvinist, but we wanted to really try to look at it from a woman's standpoint.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that one.
Look at
your
likes.
I can't wait to see that one, John.
People probably unliking you right now.
Now, here's the other thing, too. Without you telling on any of your girlfriends, have they ever told you a story about them cheating? And it's not just we were somewhere, we hooked up, and it happened. It's usually, you know, there's some dinners involved, there's some email exchange, text messaging, and so it's more of a relationship as opposed to a hookup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not to get away from if only for one night, but when it comes to, when it comes to cheating, There's a process to get to the end result. And so, there's a process. It just didn't happen. It's not like you one-night stand, but, there's a process that gets to that place. Uh-huh, I can write a chapter in that book for you.
I can write a chapter in that book.
I can help you with that one, definitely. Wow, that's exciting. Wow, that's exciting. See, John, you're going to make me send you an email. Wow. If only for one night. If only for one night. Wow. So tell people, because I've talked you all up really good. I really have. Tell people how they can find this book. And have you all done or are you planning to do any signing parties? Are you having anything like that where people can actually meet the authors face-to-face?
That is going to be difficult to get both of us in the same room because he lives in Dallas and I live just outside of Richmond. I think that the Holy Grail, a lot of times people say, hey, can I get a signed copy? And they'll have a signed copy from me, and then people in Dallas will have a signed copy from him. But I think the Holy Grail of the book is if you have both signatures, but they can get it at Amazon.com. And when they put it in, they'll most likely have to put one or both of our names, because if not, you'll get 100 Luther Vandross CDs by the same name. Or they can email us directly, johnpriceart@gmail.com or latameP@yahoo.com, and we'll definitely send them one. You can also download it on Kindle.
We had a book signing set up in January in Baltimore, and when I flew in, unfortunately, it happened to be the biggest snowstorm of the year, so the bookstore was closed, and I stayed in my hotel room, and John never could drive up for that one.
Wow, that's something. Well, I got my Kindle version, but I think I want my signed copy. Yes, indeed, I need my signed copy. My goodness. I'm excited, y'all. I really am. John, I have to thank you for even reaching out. I thank God for that moment that we were able to meet and connect. And, my daughters at work today were like, Miss Val, it was strange how, he was John and you were you, and y'all were cool. I was like, yeah, because that's the kind of people we are. That's just the kind of people we are. And I'm excited. I really am excited. So you all are doing these collaborative works with these books that you've stated. Individually, John, you do art. Can you tell the people a little bit about that?
Yes, I do mainly charcoal and oil portraits, of course, murals and logo design. I'm a well-rounded, anything from graphics design to book cover design. If anybody out there is actually doing their own book cover and they don't want to go through a publisher, they don't want to, try to get a third party to do it, I'll be more than happy to let them know. Even if they don't want me to do it, I can let them know the ins and outs and what they need to look for when they do, get their book published. The goal in life, my personal goal, is to one day get the official White House commission to do the President of the United States. Maybe not this president or the one after that, but that's always been a goal of mine to get that commission to do the oil portrait of the President of the United States. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Mr. Phillips, in Dallas, Texas, your bio says that you do a lot of philanthropy work and in teaching financial principles to the impoverished to build generational wealth. How'd that happen, and how's that going?
So I grew up really poor. I always tell people my new clothes were my brother's hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got older and started to learn different things about money and the economy and different things, I realized like how we're educated in high school and in college is wrong. We don't talk about money. We don't talk about investments. We don't talk about interest rates. We don't teach those things that really affect us. So I was a financial advisor for a while, And then after that, I've been in several operations positions with different companies. And so I said to myself, like, we sit down at business meetings and we have these meetings where we talk about what we're going to do next year and over the next 5 years, but we don't plan our lives the same way. So I started getting people together. It started off just kind of just me grabbing people and whoever would listen, John and whomever, and talking to them. And then over time, I've been able to network enough where pretty much on a monthly basis I have seminars where I don't charge anything at all. And I just teach people how to repair their credit, how to invest, how to do all sorts of different things. And my next venture that we'll be doing real soon, probably in August, is going to be a boys mentoring thing, kind of in which we get with young boys that are in juvenile correctional centers, and we just talk to them about the next phase of their life when they get out of juvie, as far as going to college and trade school, just helping them be more well-rounded so they don't end up as a grown man incarcerated back in the system.
Absolutely. That's empowerment. Yay. I like that. So we'll have to sidebar too, because my husband is working. He's drafting now a mentoring program, a part of Empowerment Place called Boys to Men. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Wow. You are too tremendous.
Yeah, Latane shared with me principles on how to get out of debt as well. And so I used a lot of the things he taught. And I'm not completely debt-free, but I've gotten rid of most of my debt.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, Latane, you and I are going to do another segment sometime soon, maybe closer to August when you're getting ready to do your mentoring thing, and, you know, you'll come back and be an empowerment speaker. And, John, the same thing for you and your artwork. You know, I'm here, guys. If there's ever anything we can do here at Empowerment Place or with Blog Talk to help you get your message out, please don't hesitate to let me know.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely will. Now, I have a question for you. Has your husband read the book?
My husband has not.
Did you read any parts of the book to him?
I did. And he looked at me. And he looked at me like, what are you reading?
Let me guess, that was chapter 6?
Yeah, what are you reading? what are you reading?
Yeah. Just for those out in, and who are listening to this, do not read chapter 6 in public. Just FYI.
Just read that, yeah. Go ahead and, yeah, that's the one that, you know, it's bedtime and, you know, your significant other, your husband, your wife has already gone to bed and you've still got a few minutes before you get there. Read it.
This is
the time to read it.
And the last disclaimer I would say is if you have younger children, don't leave your book on the counter or coffee table for them to pick up.
No, don't do that. If you have the Kindle copy, make sure you lock it so that they won't scroll through and go, if only for one. Now, oh, let me see. Yeah, go ahead and put the lock on that.
Well, you were asking earlier about the artwork. And, I mean, I wanted this to be completely ours. And so even the cover, you know, hand-painted, the cover digitally designed by us, we took care of everything on our end. So there was no third parties in this. We wanted this to be, you know, we didn't want a lot of hands in it. You know, we wanted as far as when royalties are given out, they come to us. We didn't want five or six, you know, because when you have a guy who writes a song, you know, he writes out the whole thing. If Beyonce just says, oh, baby, in it, she gets writing credits. And I was like, no,
yes,
I don't want anybody else's hands in it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
And the biggest thing that helped us is our belief in each other. You know, John and I, we have such a special connection, and there were days where I said, hey, let's just scrap and let's do something else, and he would say, no, we need to keep doing it. And then I think there was a time where John deleted the entire file out of his computer,
yeah.
and I had it saved, and, you know, so we were able to pick it up, because just getting frustrated about it not just being perfect the way we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
We always believed in each other, and that was the bottom line about how we got it out there.
Well, again, it's awesome, and I'm grateful and thankful that you gentlemen took time out to come and and share with the listening audience tonight, those on the phone line and those in the chat room, about this book, If Only for One Night. And as John stated, you can find this on Amazon.com to get your Kindle copy, and you can email them if you want a signed copy. And give your emails out again for contact.
Mine is johnpriceart@gmail.com.
And my email is LatameP, that's spelled LatameP, at yahoo.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Anything else you need the people to know about? Anything coming up soon you want to make the public aware of, gentlemen?
Not at the moment. I can just tell you if you read it, I'm supposed to sell it and say it's life-changing. You'll never be the same. If you want to give a love gift, it's a really good read. My wife is a reader.
I have to give it to you.
Go ahead.
No, I have to give it to you. It really is a good read. It is a good read. It is.
Yeah, my wife enjoyed it, and she's a reader, so she would have let me know. Don't do this, you know.
And I would say to the men, get the book and go to certain scenes and read it next to your lady for pillow talk.
Well, I'm going to turn to chapter 6 now and hand it to my husband. Yes, it's
what's your husband's name?
His name is Denny.
It's got some make me feel good element in it, Denny.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Go ahead and say you're welcome.
I'll tell him. Well, guys, thanks again so much for being with us. Listeners, please go get this book after you've read it. Come do a review. Put it out there on Amazon. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody that they need to read this book. It's a good read. Just be careful that after you read it, you don't try to hook up with that If Only for One Night. You might get hurt. Don't
yes,
try that. But please,
yeah, we are
do.
Not responsible.
This is
not
responsible
for. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, John and Latame, thank you so much. I do appreciate you both, and I am looking forward to the great work that's going to be coming from the two of you, and I'm serious about that manuscript about women cheating more.
Who's hurt?
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you so much for joining me this evening. We will be back on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. with the teaching from Evangelist Hope Brogdon. And it's our prayer that it's going to empower your life. That is going to be life-changing, as this book could change somebody's life. For real. For real. Until next time. Please know that each of you is the key to your own empowerment. It's our desire that you do something every day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Listeners, thanks for being with us. Good night, and read If Only for One Night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.